Blog Talk Radio.
Wandering around, wondering why I hit the glass with so much speed. What was I doing that I didn't see the glass? I was moving way too fast. I was moving way too fast. Felt like I was standing still. So I tried to gain some speed with my mind and with my will, wanting to feel something moving in me, moving like the fishes in the sea, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration, sweet liberation. There was no way to know that her dream of love was sweeter than the truth that came to pass. And the dream is still a dream, especially when you're moving fast. She was moving way too fast, felt like she was moving slow. So she tried to gain some speed with her mind, and off she goes, wanting to feel something deeper within. Seems like a power in the wind, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the real vibration, sweet liberation, rushing to get it done.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Enlighten Up Radio. This is Lisa Sahakian coming to you live from sunny Southern California. Always grateful to be here with you each and every Monday morning on Enlighten Up Radio, where we gather. We listen to some really nice music, like our opening musical inspiration from Ricky Byers Beckwith, the musical director of Agape International Spiritual Center, One with the One. Thanks, Ricky, for your musical sponsorship as always. And we gather here every Monday morning. We listen to some provocative prose, witty wisdom, lovely laughter from our guests, from our guests on the show, people that call in. And what we do is we come together for enlightening, to enlighten up on ourselves and in life in general. What we do here at Enlighten Up Radio is really learn to take our life to a level, a more effulgent level. When we talk about enlightening up and we talk about self-mastery, today we're going to talk about the evolution, my experience of the evolution, and also my education of risk versus opportunity. So not only theoretical, but also actual experience of playing with risk versus opportunity. Because in self-mastery, we realize and we fully accept that we are in an ever-evolving state. We're not looking to change ourselves or make ourselves better or fix ourselves. Certainly, it's always nice to be a better person in general, living by the golden rule. That's a great thing to do. Self-mastery is really more about to our natural state of being, which is in this constant state of creation, evolution, creation, education, procreation, taking what we have, putting it into tangible action, terms, action modalities, what have you. You know, there are a lot of opportunities in this lifetime to not take risk, to overcome opportunities and actually take them. And it's really important to start talking about them because, you know, we've all been listening for over a year and a half now. There's definitely been some inner evolution. I know that's taken place within a great deal of you that listen to the show. And thank you all of our global listeners across the globe once again for tuning in to Enlighten Up Radio. We appreciate you. I appreciate you. if you want more information about me, I'd rather not go into a bio on me on my own radio show. You can just definitely Google me, Lisa Sahakian. You can Google self-mastery. You can Google inspired living, which is basically the whole media enterprise that I function from where I function. In general, we gather here to really discuss having experiences within our own self-mastery. So I know that there are a wonderful handful of you repetitive listeners that are always listening in. It's really fantastic. So this is for you guys. This is absolutely for you. Risk versus opportunity. I want you to pause for a minute and think about the last time you were given an opportunity and you said no. I want you to think about the no first, where you look back upon and you, I don't want to say regret, let's just say you definitely see how there were other possibilities in handling that situation. It doesn't mean that a specific outcome, and I will get into details, I'm speaking in vagueness right now, I realize, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every time we take a risk is going to work out. No, guess why? That is obviously that's why it's a risk. But there is a life cycle. There is a process. There actually are universal truths applied to the understanding of the evolution of risk versus opportunity. It has a high tide and a low tide. Risk and opportunity, taking action steps, being the change, really doing things that are making a difference. And in that action, which sometimes means you're kind of living in a little bit of fear and anxiety, and that's part of it. So there is this universal truth, this palpable cadence and rhythm to everything. And when we start becoming a student to it all, we don't just know it, we keep taking it deeper. Self-mastery, consciousness, all of it. It's, you know, I hit a certain point where I realized I just need to keep doing what I'm doing, just do more of it and do it consistently. And the goodness, that's hard enough as it is. I highly encourage and recommend for the remainder of the year not to take on any new thing, any new workshop. Just do what you know that works for the remainder of the year. Deepen what you already know. That's self-mastery. Deepen what you already know. Take it to another level. So we start deepening what we know. When we start playing and living and moving in our self-mastery, when we start enjoying our self-mastery more, are in the joy and are in the play of it, we start realizing there is an ebb and a flow. There is a universal truth, just like everything else. High tide, low tide, full moon, new moon, what have you, you know. High emotion, low emotion. High stress, low stress, relaxed. Same universal principle. Happy, sad. So the evolution of the risk process looks a little something like this. It's pretty simple. Grab a piece of paper and pencil. Want to write this down. You just kind of want to write a high, low, just a little chart for yourself that starts low, goes high, and then comes down again and come up. You know, just a flow chart. Starts with optimism. When we start moving in the risk towards the opportunity as the opportunity, we start feeling a tremendous degree of optimism, excitement, and thrill, right? We've all felt that. We've all felt that, wow, I'm really smart. Look what I just manifested. I mean, there's a real awareness that you've attracted something into your and so I'll speak for myself. There's an awareness that I've attracted something that's like, oh, well, this is a new league. This is a new ball of wax. This is a new vibration. This is a new level. This is a new deepening. It's just something new that's happening, something that shifted. So from this newness is the creation of optimism, excitement, thrill, sense of euphoria, right? That's the peak of it, that sense of, wonderful. going to be great all the way through. Almost a false sense of security. It can be if it's the pendulum is swinging in one direction. If there's not a lot of self-awareness around our self-efficacy, our ability to take something to completion, or our ability to look at something, study something, analyze something enough to get to the point where we are in our self-mastery and we can start making calculated risk and not be completely thrown off center if it doesn't work out, right? Self-mastery, not really being thrown so much off center, if at all, when things aren't working out. So we go up the hill, optimist, excitement, thrill, euphoria, boom. And then often it's just the natural case. What goes up, what must come down. You know, Newton's law, right? Then a sense of a small R reality can start kicking in. Now, these are studies that they're talking about out there. It's Harvard University information. This is where my source is from. So anxiety often kicks in. This is a natural state of risk and opportunity. Anxiety kicks in. And then, oh my goodness, what am I doing? It'll sound, right? Like, then denial, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do this. Oh my fear, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Desperation, well, oh my gosh, I need help. Start, you know, making too many phone calls or toward the business opportunity, being too many advances towards that which we are wanting to desire. Doesn't matter what relationship it looks like. It could be business or personal, but it's that desperation where we're moving towards something much too quickly, that we're moving so quickly that we're pushing it away, right? That desperation. Then we realize we're doing that. There's panic. And then there's a sense of despondency, like, oh my goodness, what have I just done? I can't move. Are you getting this? Are you understanding this? Are you resonating with this? I'm sure we've all experienced varying degrees of this experience, of this risk opportunity cycle, if you will. So then there's a despondency, and then perhaps a depression will kick in when we really hit our lowest low. So we went all the way from euphoria, potentially, all the way down to a potential depression because we really didn't take a good enough look at what was happening. And we're going to talk about, very briefly, a SWOT analysis. You want to write that down, SWOT, I believe it is, SWOT analysis. Then the depression had kicked in. And then, so once we hit the bottom, if euphoria is the top of the mountain, depression is the bottom. So we reach the bottom and then we kick off, boom. We come back up again. So once we go down, we have the potential to come back up again. It's really up to us. It's going to happen anyway. It's up to us to belabor that up cycle again versus fly with it. Know that the up cycle is always coming. Know that the down cycle may be just around the corner. It's from where am I coming in my self-mastery that I'm better able to deal with it. Even better said, in my spiritual intelligence, the ability, my ability to behave with both wisdom and compassion, really utilizing my spiritual intelligence, my SQ. At this point, wisdom and compassion, if I've hit the point of depression, you know, you've all been there at some point where, it doesn't have to be severe depression. You know, I'm talking about you're really upset about something. You know, you were looking forward to something. It didn't work out. You're upset about it a little bit or maybe a lot of it. Point is, with that spiritual intelligence, you apply the SQ skills to your self-mastery. And there's an ability to start learning to develop and move and live from our behaving with wisdom and intelligence. And when we behave with wisdom and intelligence, we start developing our sense of self-efficacy again, our remembering having hope for who we are, what we've done in the past before, knowing we can do it. We feel a sense of relief. Perhaps we recall other opportunities where we felt down, but we lifted ourselves back up and we made it through to the other side, right? got a big smile on my face. We feel relief, and then comes the optimism once again. So the cycle begins from optimism, excitement, thrill, euphoria at the top, maybe come down into anxiety, denial, fear, desperation, panic, despondency, depression, back up to hope, relief, optimism, excitement. You see, so it's just this kind of wave. And to the degree that we're doing our own homework determines how well we're surfing these waves of risk and opportunity, right? And, you know, the great thing is about self-mastery, I think, and this is not a phrase that I've particularly coined. Many people have used the term self-mastery in the past, many other teachers and people. Self-mastery, what's so great about it is that often is the case, we'll start becoming much more humble and becoming much more of a student of the teaching. So the downs aren't as down, the highs aren't as high, and we're actually able to move with more equanimity. You want to write that word down, equanimity. You want to write down the word equanimity for sure. That's a real great word. It's a great embodiment. Equanimity is really that sense of spiritual intelligence in another form, if you will. So we talked about the cycle, which is really great to know about. You know, it's good to talk about these things. I think that denying them makes them worse, because if we're denying stuff that's actually present and we're shoving it down, we're really not doing anyone any good, especially ourselves. It's good to have healthy conversations, but, you know, healthy conversations. What's a healthy conversation? A conversation where things can go somewhere, where there are good intentions and good outcomes, not just speaking for the sake of complaining. Really with the intention and attention on our self-mastery, on our betterment, you know, just being a better person overall. So what's a SWOT analysis? So in our risk and opportunity paradigm, not even a paradigm, when taking risk and opportunity, often is the case they'll do SWOT analysis. And I've seen SWOT analysis done on a many, many different levels. As small as a small business owner, we've done SWOT analysis, analysis for their company. I had a coaching client years ago. I had a chiropractic client years ago. All the way to, I've watched Neutrogena and Johnson & Johnson. When Johnson & Johnson merged, acquired Neutrogena Corporation, I was there at that time working in human resources. That was really interesting. So I'm explaining these things so you have an understanding that I've actually participated, witnessed in these things. I'm not just speaking. But more than anything, you know, it's good to be in the flow, and it's good to do the both thing. I'm really big on being in both, because as much as I start my day and really make certain that I start my day in this sense of peace and really inner dominion of my life, you know, there's a saying, go to church and tie up your camel. Certainly, I have tremendous faith and optimism in who I am and how this divine tapestry plays out. And also, you know, the tie up your camel part, you know, use the skills. Let's be smart. Let's utilize the skills. So I've watched SWOT analysis. I've been a part of Pricewaterhouse Consultants when they've, in a bullpen, as they've, in one of Walt Disney Company's many downsizing. It's been interesting to watch this. So the SWOT analysis can be used at the micro, macro level, whatever you want. So what SWOT stands for? We take a look at the helpful and the harmful things. On the helpful side, let's just make four boxes. You want to write this down. Make four boxes or envision four boxes, okay? Make a square and then put a little cross in the middle so you've got four boxes. In each box, on the upper left, strengths, to the right of it, weaknesses. Bottom left, opportunities, to the left, threats. So S, strengths, O opportunities, S strengths, W weaknesses, O opportunities, T threats. Live radio. Thanks for your understanding, everybody. So these are, on the left, there are the helpful things to achieving the objective, helpful things to look at, the strengths and the opportunities, right? And then there are the harmful things to achieving the objective, such as weaknesses or threats, okay? Strengths and weaknesses are internal in origin. They are from within. Opportunities and threats are attributes of the environment, okay, of your environment, our environment, okay, external origin, internal origin, attributes of the organization or the individual, depending on, well, it's always the organization, if you will. The person we can talk about synonymous, the person is the organization for the purposes of this conversation. So strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Google, you know, I can't give you all the information on one radio show, Enlighten Up Radio Show. We gather here, if you're listening for the first time to Enlighten Up Radio, we gather here to create, share provocative tools, witty wisdom, lovely laughter, and tools of transformation for your self-mastery. So today we're talking about risk and opportunity. My name is Lisa Stahakian. Welcome, if this is the first time, and welcome back. If you're a regular listener, thanks so much for listening. Happy Monday. So Google SWOT analysis, everyone. Enlighten Up listeners, take a look at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, not to the point of your demise, everything in moderation. Even our SWOT analysis. We don't keep getting ready to get ready. We don't keep analyzing and overanalyzing. Usually, you know, so here, go to church and tie up your camel. I'm having this long conversation about the physical process of a SWOT analysis, risk versus opportunity, Harvard studies. These are very, physical, industrialized understandings of our world, right? And in faith, one of my wonderful teachers, Yogi Bhajan, shares that we know the answer to anything in the first 9 seconds. Virtually anything, we know what the true and correct answer is within the first 9 seconds. That's our gut reaction. That's what that translates to. Okay? So we use both. We use both. In some cases, we don't have the time to leverage a SWOT analysis to our benefit. That's when we start. So we utilize the time and opportunities where we're given the gift of time to really look at something and take a moment to look. Okay, so again, we're going to go back. We're going to close the show to where we opened it. Look back for a minute on the last thing you experienced that didn't work out on purpose. I want us to look at that on purpose, that the last thing that did not work out, okay? Remember what that was like. Okay, and consider doing a SWOT analysis on the last thing that didn't work out, or maybe that didn't work out to the best of your benefit. You don't have to rehash anything. Don't need to do that to that degree, but you understand what I'm saying, everybody. Take an opportunity when you have the time, developing the strengths and the behavioral patterns and the mental patterns of analysis, in the moment analysis. We do this enough, it becomes a cadence, it becomes a rhythm. A SWOT analysis, SWOT, strength, weakness, opportunities, threats. You can do that quickly. It's like playing the guitar. It's like learning an instrument. It's like learning a sport, memorizing a speech. You do something enough, you become masterful, self-mastery. Do something enough, you become very good at it. And then when you become very good at it, you get even better at it by teaching others how to do it wherever you can, where it's appropriate, right? Teaching is one of the best ways to learn to embody. Why do you think I have Enlightened Up Radio? Of course, the show is in dedication, was inspired in dedication to a family member of mine and the gift that it keeps giving me every Monday morning as I turn on these magical airwaves to share more inspiration that I'm hoping you're enjoying as much as I am sharing it with you. You know, I wake up and I'm inspired because it is an opportunity for us to get together, for us to have conversation, for people to go deeper. It's a more intimate conversation. Sure, it's fun, it's playful and stuff like that. I love to keep it more in the joy, but make no mistake about it, enlightened listeners. I've said this before and I will absolutely say it again. I may put a lot of bells and whistles around what I do. I make it enlightening. I make it fun. I make it joyful. I make it engaging. I make it silly. I make it sexy. I make it sassy. I put a lot of different bells and whistles on it to catch the attention. I know what I'm doing. There's a method to my operation, my daily method of operation. There's a method to it. And the method is to always and only make the world a better place, raise the collective consciousness of the planet. That's always in service, first and foremost. So I would like to thank everyone for taking the time to go within again in your self-mastery, gaining another skill. Google SWOT analysis, Google risk versus opportunity. Just kind of look at some images of it. Look at some charts. You don't even need, you know, you don't need to go too deeply. At this point in time, we've learned so much. We've done so much studying. It's not that hard. We can just, we're here to remember now. Actually, we're here always to remember. But at this stage, that the consciousness has evolved to the place at the collective where really everything is different now, right? Take advantage of that. You don't need to start from 101 unless you really want to. Unless you want to start in student mind, but you don't have to. You know, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Grab what you need. Stay in action. Stay moving forward. This is Lisa Sahaki, and you're listening to Enlighten Up Radio. I'm so grateful to share the airwaves with you every Monday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you for listening to the archive shows. Create some interesting dialogue around risk versus opportunity. Notice the people in your life that are risk adverse and risk, see risk as opportunity. Best way to say it. You know, risk is an opportunity. It's always an opportunity. There are so many stories I could have told you about how risk is opportunity in the moment. And even when it doesn't really work out the way we wanted it to, it just really, look at the last thing that didn't really work out that you, to your benefit, that you thought. And really take a look at what you did to get there. What created that opportunity in the first place. Remember the hard work that you got there. You know, if it didn't work out, have faith. Utilize the opportunity to your benefit. Learn from the opportunity that was presented to you. Utilize it towards your next endeavor, your next relationship, your next opportunity to relate at whatever level that might be. It's all relationship. How I relate to myself, how I relate to a partner, how I relate to a friend, how I relate to someone in business. It's all relationship. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Ricky Byers-Beckwith, for your musical inspiration. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful and blessed day. Be grateful for all the risks and opportunities you've taken. Take some more. Make them a little more calculated. Take them a little bit deeper. Learn from the past. Meditate, meditate, meditate. Remember, may the longtime sun shine upon you. May all love surround you. Pure light within you. Guide your way on. This is Lisa Sahaki, and have a beautiful Monday. Love, joy, peace to all souls.
Wondering why I hit the glass with so much speed. What was I doing that I didn't see the glass? I was moving way too fast. I was moving.
like I was standing still. So I tried to gain some speed with my mind and with my will, wanting to feel something moving in me, moving like the fishes in the sea, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the real vibration, sweet liberation, rushing to get it done. There was no way to know that her dream of love was sweeter than the truth that came to pass. And the dream is still a dream, especially when you're moving fast. She was moving way too fast, felt like she was moving slow. So she tried to gain some speed with her mind, and off she goes, wanting to feel something deeper within, deep like the power in the wind. Rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the real vibration, sweet liberation. Rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one with the the living, when you're one with the one with the one, one with the one with the one. I'm watching the world and wondering why we live our lives with so much speed. What are we doing? If we don't learn from the past, are we moving way too fast? But